Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you give us peace that passes understanding. It comes as you have sent your Son, Jesus, who came in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as that Spirit is at work among us today, I pray that this message would give glory to Christ, would remind us of who you are and whose we are in and through Jesus, that we would celebrate that our Prince of Peace has come, that he reigns, and the ultimate peace that comes when he returns. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the sermon is Divisive Peace. There's an alternate pronunciation of divisive peace or divisive peace. That could divide people just right there. And really, that's about all I got to say, because Jim, you did a great job introducing the song and captured this. These scripture readings, at least the Old Testament and the gospel lesson, there's not any overt good news there. It's to say, this is the word of the Lord, and you could smile, but maybe, I don't know, it's kind of a twisted smile. Heavy words that come in and through Jesus, the one who is the Prince of Peace. We know this and we sing about this, especially at Christmas. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Division on earth and mercy mild. Isn't that how it goes? I see, Rick Kerr, you're laughing. What was wrong? It's not division on earth? Oh, okay. Well, I see division everywhere. I mean, so it's not division on earth, although that's what he says. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Division. Or at the end of the service, when all the lights are out and we hold our candles, sleep in heavenly division. It just doesn't, not very euphonious. It's strange, isn't it, to hear these words of Jesus? I thought he was the Prince of Peace. It's Simeon who finally cradles salvation. He holds the Christ child and he says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. A woman who has a flow of an issue of blood, and Jesus heals her. And then he says, you may go in peace. Again and again, he says, you may go in peace. And now he set his face toward Jerusalem and he says, you think that I came to bring peace? Forget about it. No, I came to bring division. I don't know, maybe it's unsettling. This word divisive, it's, well, one definition is just tending to cause disagreement and hostility between people. I thought Jesus was just nice and nobody ever disagreed about Jesus. I mean, that's why all Christians are perfectly united. Every congregation in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, within each congregation, everybody's perfectly united, except for about the time to go to church. Right, Pastor Luke? We'll get to that in a minute. A surprising turn. Every sermon, I think it's helpful for every person to have humility, and as a pastor, and in all humility, and you probably have realized this about me if you've been, we've been together over 5.5 years. I'm trying to figure out what this message is, and each time, if I'm honest, I'm trying to get closer to what it really is about, and that's part of a conversation and prayer and the scriptures and talking with other people. But this text, it's not easy. It's pretty simple. Jesus, I thought he was the Prince of Peace, but now he says he's come to bring division. I know what I want to say, but I'm still figuring out how to say it. So within an hour, hour and a half, will be closer today. So Jesus, he says, and here it is again, that I came to cast fire on the earth. And not only that, I mean, he ramps it up. He says, would that it were already kindled, that it was already burning, that it was just, let's get some wind in there and just get it a roaring inferno. And then he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how great is my distress, my anguish, until it is accomplished. I mean, this is his mission. The goal, the telos. The Greek word here is tied to telos or destination. This is what he has come to do. And this baptism to be baptized with, as he stood in the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptizes him, although he is unlike all those sinners who have gone into the waters of the Jordan River to have their sin washed away, he goes in the sinless one and he leaves the Jordan River as the one anointed with sin to die for sinners. And he wants this to happen. It is strange. And then these words,
Hark, the herald angels sing. But you thought I came to bring peace. No. I tell you, rather division. And then he goes through and he says, this is what it is like from now on. And this is fitting for the countryman household because we are a family of five. And yet we are divided, whether it is three against two or two against three. And all those people will be interchangeable in terms of who's on the same team. I'm not even counting the dog and the bird. And I don't even know how many fish we have at this point. They are divided. Right now we have the living fish and the dead fish divided. And then arguing about who killed them. And then he says, they will be divided. And he goes and he cuts right to the heart because we are all living this. And Jim talked about it before. So there is going to be division, father against son and son against father, because we all know that Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels are sacred. And maybe your son, like mine, messed them up. Right, Ollie? They're divided over toilet handles that are broken or unbroken. Fathers and sons can be divided, but it's not just fathers and sons. Mothers and daughters can be divided. Daughters and mothers can be divided. And maybe you're all most mothers and daughters, like, no, we have perfect relationships, although I see some smirks out there. And then this is the easy one. Mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Have you ever met Mary Watt, Courtney? She loves you. You love her. Like, yeah. Andrea, you ever met Susan Wheaton? Yeah. Okay. So, but there can be no limit to these divisions. Jesus knows. He is the truth and he speaks the truth, and it is not usually comfortable or convenient. Maybe we get a little squirmish. He wants us, he yearns for us to know these truths. And sometimes it's really simple. Like there will be division, and he brings. I think in some sense maybe it is there will be peace, but it comes after division. I mean, that's what we sang about. Jesus is coming back, but right now, I mean, there is division, no matter how you slice it or dice it. But there will be peace there and then. But what about the here and now? Are there still pictures of that peace? Are there glimpses of that peace? And I would say, well, yes, there are. But it's different than what the world might tell us, because Jesus brings this divisive peace. And that belief in him, we just talked about it. He says it himself. It will divide households. Two against three, three against two, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. And living in this tension, though, this divisive peace, it can be difficult. It's a paradox. Two things that you hold in tension. The Christian faith is all about paradox. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is true God, and he's also true man. We talk about this as Lutheran Christians. We say we're at the same time sinner and saint, two things held together when the temptation is to go from one ditch into the other or just get stuck in a rut. But true and lasting peace, I would contend, and I think the scriptures say, cannot be had apart from Jesus. The temptation is to try to accommodate or people's preferences or wants or things like that, but that's not the way to have lasting peace. Now, on the one hand, maybe though the temptation is to say peace above everything else, and peace that erases any division. I don't have the song memorized. I should. Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. And then verse 2, no divisions. Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine that, no divisions whatsoever. Imagine all the people, John Lennon says, living in peace. Ooh. You like that falsetto? I've been working on that. Imagine that. It's the idea of universalism. Look, it feels good at the time. All religions lead to the same place, so everybody has the same religion, whether they realize it or not. It is that proverb about the three blind men and the elephant, and one of them is holding on to the tail, and one of them is holding on to the leg, and one of them is holding on to the trunk, but it's the same elephant, you know that. It might smell different depending on what end you're on.
But this isn't the peace that Jesus is talking about. Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, who says, though, but I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled. Because Jesus, He is the Savior for all. He died for all. But there is a distinction between those who believe and trust and those who don't. And Jesus, He's not a nice guy. And if you didn't believe that, this you have to throw this text out. Because there's nothing nice about what Jesus said here. The other temptation, though, the other ditch, I think, is to emphasize any and every division. Division to the extent that we lose sight of true peace. And there is no connection. There is no unity. There is no beautiful harmony. I say harmony because whether it is the music that we use in worship and about what songs or what instruments or how many songs to sing or in a traditional context, how many verses to sing. We sang a 9-verse song for communion today. That divided people between those who had stamina and those who didn't. Whether it is the time to come to church, the sacred time of 8:30, which is now 8 o'clock, or this service, look, used to be 10:25, 10:45. What is the world coming to? Why? Because we are trying to creatively divide people. No, we're not. There is no limit, though, to those divisions. Because I see there is one guy here that I noticed already has a Purdue shirt on today. That is a good division between those who are holy and righteous, like Joe and me, and those who are not. No, there's no limit, though. And this happens within our church body. I mean, let's just talk about pastors. I mean, blessedly, Pastor Luke and I are pretty much on the same page about every 99% of things, roughly, I think. But boy, I mean, there are times it's tempting to say, well, look, you divide between who are the real true Lutherans and who are not, and then all the real true Lutherans get together, and then they look at one another and they say, but actually, if we're honest, we have some realer, truer Lutherans here. And then they subdivide off, and they subdivide off. It's the same thing, and what's left is a group of one. There is no limit to where we can go with division. And in overemphasizing or only emphasizing that division, guess what we lose sight of? And it's Jesus, our Savior who brings the world peace. Peace. It's St. Luke who shares, and all the Gospels have the crucifixion of our Lord. He was crucified. That means dying, death on a cross. I mean, that is the Roman death penalty. And Jesus was not crucified alone. On his left hand and on his right hand were two criminals. They were guilty as charged. They deserved the punishment of death. But in St. Luke's Gospel, the only one that there is a distinction made between these two criminals. They're both guilty, but there is a distinction. See, it's one of those criminals who says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, get down from the cross and get me down too. Let's get out of here. But this is not the time or the place or the way that Jesus has come to accomplish the salvation of the world. And the guy then curses him. Well, I didn't think you were anything anyway. And he dies a miserable death. But it is that other criminal. And Luke's gospel is the only one that makes this distinction. Historically, he's known as Dismas. In the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, he's Saint Dismas. He is the criminal, and maybe you remember, who in all humility, he knows he's guilty of this charge, but he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I can only imagine that Jesus looks over and looks him in the eye. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. See, this other criminal, St. Dismas as he's known, he believes, he trusts in Jesus. And that the
ways of God are beyond our understanding. That God is God and we are not. And this man, Dismas, who believes, he has not misery and torment, but peace when he is dying. And although these two men are joined in a common death, they are divided very differently between the one who believes and trusts and the one who does not believe and does not trust. They're divided by peace, divided by the one who is the Prince of Peace. See, this is the baptism that Jesus says he had to undergo. Ultimately, it is his death as he hung on the cross. His death and resurrection that would both save and divide the world. And to those who believe, who are called by faith, I mean, it takes courage to believe this, to follow where he leads. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Whatever you say, Jesus, I will follow you. That takes faith. It takes courage. It is not something that is done alone, and it is not also done in a partnership with Jesus. I mean, you can ask him, hey, do you want to go here, Jesus? And he'll tell you yes or no, but he might just keep going. But ultimately, we're called to follow where he leads. And to those who believe, this is peace, and he speaks that peace to us. He is that peace for us. And to those who don't, this is, well, there's chaos and torment, and ultimately, condemnation. It's a very personal thing. But it is a personal thing. It was last week at our 170th service when Reverend Dr. Dirk Reek, son of the congregation, stood here or stood up there in front of the baptismal font and talks about where we are, where God writes us into the story, where we're placed in Jesus Christ. And in baptism, what is happening is death and resurrection, and death is a separation. And if I'm honest, and I'm only going to be honest with you, I need Jesus to separate me from my sinful nature. And so do you, and so especially do those four people sitting right there. I need Jesus to separate me from the old Adam, the old Troy. There's no compromise. There is no, well, let's just try to make the peace or go along to get along. The old Adam needs to be killed, drowned, and die. They're not going to just coexist. You can't make peace between them. My sinful nature. And that is death. It's division. It's distinction. When we confess, as we're baptized into Christ, as we're called by faith to follow him, we are saying that we are following Jesus, the crucified one, yes, but also the risen one, the reigning one, the blessedly returning one. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. So keep your head up. And we lifted up our heads today and we confessed our sins. And keep your head up and listen. In the same way that Jesus spoke a word of certainty to Dismas as he was there on the cross, he speaks that word of certainty to you and me, that yes, we are sinners, and yes, for the sake of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Jesus speaks that word of distinction to you and me. We are in the world, but not of the world. This one who is the Word made flesh, yes, he makes a distinction first, but he also is the Prince of Peace. Two things held together for now until that day when Christ returns. I think in some sense we'd say, well, the peace does come, but it's after the division, or it's with the division, or it's because of the division. I mean, this is an end time reality that Jesus, the judge, the good shepherd, stands there, and there will be a distinction, a division between on the right hand the sheep and on the left hand the goats. Or today you can be the sheep and you can be the goats, because you don't want to be a goat. You just want to be a sheep. Ba, ba, ba. There's a distinction. There's a distinction that is made, and not just saying, well, look, I think Jesus, I follow, and I love Jesus. I, I think he was a rabbi, that means teacher, and I don't care if you call it a teacher or a guru, I have poured through those scriptures and I follow all the teachings of Jesus. It's just when I get to that supernatural stuff, all the miracles and the resurrection, I'm not so into that. Well, that's a distinction between those who say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a distinction between those who would say, and I hope, and it's not to be brainwashed, it's because it's a confession of faith. If I say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Sometimes we even believe it. Right? That's a distinction. We say that He is Lord. And if He is Lord, guess who's not? Me. Or you. It's a distinction. And Pastor Luke was going through this in Bible class today about angels and demons. And from the very beginning, God makes distinctions. He says, let there be light, and light and dark are separated. He makes distinctions. And there's a distinction. So He makes a distinction between all these creatures that He creates, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and animals that are on the land. But then He makes and distinguishes there is one who is the most special, and that's a human being. And then He makes a further distinction. He says, no, this is a man. And then He says, this is a woman. And He says, it is very good. And the thing that He says is not good is that man would be alone and that the two should become one flesh. And in 7 weeks and 5 days, is that right? You're getting married? Congratulations. So there's a distinction. And once we know these things, if something is good, then that means, well, there has to be an opposite, bad. If something is light, that means there has to be an opposite, darkness. If something is alive, that means there's an opposite, there's something that's dead. And Jesus comes and He makes those distinctions, and it's not always easy or comfortable or convenient. Because then it's even distinctions like, is this toilet handle broken or not? And the answer, Oliver, is it was broken. And now it's fixed. And I still love you, even though you broke it. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I can make a distinction between a toilet handle that's broken and one that isn't, because the one that's not broken actually flushes the stuff down. And I don't say, well, it's kind of like it's working. No, there's a difference between when it works and when it doesn't work. There is a distinction, and in the end, there is peace. This is why this takes an hour, because I'm still trying to figure it out as we go. But if Jesus is not risen, if He is not Lord, then that means, well, maybe we can just pick and choose. But if I confess and we confess that Jesus is Lord, that He is God and we are not, that then crushes our autonomy. We are not a law unto ourselves. We are not Lord. And in some sense, I would argue, you don't get to make a choice. God has chosen you. Christ Jesus has called you, and He says, follow Me. And it is not easy. It is simple. Just follow Jesus. And sometimes we actually trust, and many times we don't. And guess what we do when we don't? Come back and listen to Him. No, you didn't do it. There's a distinction between right and wrong, good and bad, disciple and not, but I forgive you. You are forgiven and free. Believe that and trust that. So look, life in the body of Christ, simple. Follow Jesus, the crucified and risen one, the reigning and returning one. He is coming back. But it is not easy. And so we trust and share in Jesus, the one who comes to divide, but also the one who is the Prince of Peace, both at the same time. But one day those divisions will go away. We're not there yet. I don't know that it makes our situations in life any easier. In some sense, maybe it makes them harder, because now I can distinguish, well, wait a minute. The thing that I used to think was good might actually be bad. And the thing that I used to think was bad might actually be good. Maybe I can actually share my Matchbox cars. Maybe keeping them pristine comes at the cost of a relationship with my son. Maybe I can share this space with you, even though many of you tend to get the rows out of order, and that really upsets Pastor Luke. It's better that we come into this place. Our focus is always, it has to be on Jesus, and the temptation is to never have it there. But Jesus has come, and He brings a divisive peace that saves. So believe again and trust in that promise. As Pastor Luke proclaimed it earlier, for the sake of Christ, your sins are forgiven. So believe again as you come forward toward this altar that Christ Jesus has come for sinners. And He has given His body and blood for you, so that you might not in the end die death that is eternal, so that you might live in the present hope and comfort with the best is still yet to come because Jesus is coming back. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and the Prince of Peace. Amen.